You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and in honor of it being World Mental Health Day, well, that was yesterday, so I guess let's consider this the after party, I am re-airing this true talk about how I personally strive to combat and calm my anxiety, which I do as routinely as I eat dinner. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. While we're on the topic of making healthy eating a whole lot less hellish, although that's what we're always on the topic of here on the Party in My Plants podcast, one of my favorite essential non-helly healthy staples, as you probably know by now, is Amazing Grass Greens Powder. And I am so excited that Amazing Grass is sponsoring this podcast episode. I truly, honestly, wholeheartedly adore Amazing Grass's amazing grasses, which I'm sure you're well aware of if you follow me on Instagram. Their green superfood powders are an insanely tasty blend of nutritious greens, phytonutrient-packed fruits, veggies, grasses, digestive enzymes, and probiotics that I can't and I don't want to live without. And it just so happens that one of the kitchen tools I'm going to outline in today's episode is the vehicle through which I enjoy Amazing Grass. Amazing. To make Amazing Grass even more amazing, they're offering Party in My Plants podcast listeners 40% off. Yes, 40%, not just some measly 10%, 40% off. That's almost half off your Amazing Grass order if you go to their website, amazinggrass.com, and use coupon code PLANTPARTY40 at checkout. That's PLANTPARTY40 at checkout on amazinggrass.com. Now, I want to say that this episode originally aired on December 12th, 2016. That is nearly 3 whole years ago. This episode is a junior in high school. 3 years ago, though, it was not normal to talk about anxiety the way it is now. As you'll hear in the beginning of my story, 3 years ago, I legitimately did not know that I was not alone. How crazy is that? Now, isn't it so that you can't even log into Instagram and do one solid scroll without seeing someone's post about their anxiety? Listen, everybody's story is different. This is mine. And at the end, I gave this chat a little facelift with more things I'm doing to help me through tough times, since in the 3 years that it's been that I recorded this chat, I've dealt with the death of Jesse's mom, an engagement, our wedding, writing a big book, going on TV a lot, trying to find a new place to live, some old mommy issues bubbling back up, buying a house, growing and changing my own business, and now coordinating a double home move. So a lot more circumstantial anxiety triggers have graced my presence, making my battle to overcome this debilitating condition all the more paramount and all the more like a giant jigsaw puzzle, which some people actually enjoy and me, not so much. The other night, I was out to dinner with 5 other people on a lovely 3-way double date. As we did the sit-down shuffle, you know, do we sit across from our boyfriend next to, which couple gets separated, who gets the booth, and who's stuck in the chairs, that whole thing, I saw one of the couples handling a blue pill between them. Once we all finally got situated, I saw this blue pill just resting on the guy's phone, I assume waiting to be taken when our sparkling still or tap water was poured. Now, let me first just preface by saying that calling myself blunt would be a massive understatement. I'm blunt, really blunt, more blunt than, I don't know, James Blunt. It's not that I have no filter. I mean, that's not it at all, actually. It's just that I guess I just assume that everyone is as open to talking about everything as I am. I'm an open book, really. And I guess that I just think everyone else is an open book too. Although many times they're actually a locked diary or a snapped journal or a password protected Word document. So naturally, I asked the pill guy's girlfriend what that blue pill was. Not like that's personal or anything. She said Klonopin. And because I don't know even the slightest thing about prescription pills, I had no idea what it was. So I obviously then asked, what for? And she said, anxiety. Now, two things about this were completely shocking to me. First, that he could be anxious. We had just spent a perfect day sipping wine under the sun with our dogs at a vineyard. But even more shocking to me was how open he or they were about him struggling with anxiety. I mean, she didn't like whisper to me, it's for anxiety. Nor did he make taking the pill a secretive activity. So as I'm processing all this, I say, wow, I never would have thought he gets anxiety. To which the gal said, oh my God, he's bad, but I'm even worse. And then the other girl says, oh no, my anxiety couldn't be worse. I need Lexapro every day. Again, I have no idea what Lexapro is, but clearly it's another prescription for anxiety, right? I was shocked. 50% of my table was openly, no biggie, admitting that they struggled daily with anxiety. This brought me back to when I used to struggle with it, like big time, like full-blown anxiety attacks a lot, like zero control over spiraling out of control. Like just permanently teetering on the line of calm versus crazy. And that today feels like a distant memory, like a lifetime ago, even though it was really only about 4 years ago. But I know that back when my anxiety did consume me, I would walk around the world feeling like I was the only one who struggled with this, the only one who just broke down like a helpless person suffocating and crying on the floor, who didn't at all feel like herself nor in control of herself. I just remember so vividly thinking that I was completely alone in this nightmare. And now to know that 50% of these normal, cool people sitting around me lived their own version of this nightmare was mind-blowing and really sad. So I wanted to share with you, not them, unless they're listening, just doing this over sake that night wouldn't exactly have been appropriate. And even me, Miss Blunt, knows that. I wanted to share how I quit having panic attacks and stopped living with an insurmountable amount of anxiety. And spoiler, it has nothing to do with prescription pills, although I was prescribed Ativan, which I got out of here. I'm obviously no doctor or psychiatrist, so the following is entirely based on my own experience. But let me just say that the following literally changed my life. No, not the show with Kevin Bacon, the following. The following actions completely axed my regular anxiety attacks, made me a generally much less anxious person, and still helped me fight anxiety when it tries to be an ass and creep in today. Okay, so number one, first, I realized that I was in control of my anxiety attacks, not the other way around. What I'm about to say might sound completely nuts, but it completely worked for me, so please have an open mind, okay? How I found out that I ran the Talia anxiety show was when I went to a website called stick.com. That's stick with two Ks, just to really stick the whole stick thing. Stick.com is a site where you select a specific goal that you want to achieve over a measured amount of time, and you choose a monetary consequence for not achieving that goal. I called my goal no crying for no reason. I set a period of 4 weeks, and I said that I'd pay a terrible organization, one that I would definitely not want to support, to give me even more incentive to not fail at my goal, $10 for each week I didn't accomplish my goal. I chose an anti-gay organization because I knew I couldn't bear the thought of giving them money, but I had to plug in my credit card info to make sure it happened if I didn't achieve my goal. Oh, and I signed my boyfriend up to be my quote-unquote referee, who would have to approve my weekly check-ins to make sure I wasn't BSing. I kid you not that in these 4 weeks, I had zero cries for no reason. Zero. But I'd be kidding if I said I didn't almost have some. But here's the thing, because I was so incentivized to not fail, because I had both money on the line and pride, I didn't want my boyfriend to have to sign off on me failing on something he too really wanted to see me overcome. I fought myself when the anxiety came. Literally, in those moments where I would normally just launch into my routine anxiety attack, I would say to myself things like, is it really worth it? Do you really need to have an anxiety attack right now? Can you fight it? Can you stop it? Let's fight it. Let's not have an anxiety attack. And I wouldn't. And in this 4-week period, I learned that I 100% have control over my anxiety. It doesn't have control over me. Now, to clarify, it wasn't that I didn't have moments of feeling anxious over that month. It was just that I was able to not let those anxious moments spiral out of control. And I actually learned that I was in complete control over my anxiety, not the other way around. Holy guacamole, was I empowered. I now knew that I had no more excuses for having an anxiety attack. And I swear to you that I have only had one in the past 4 years. And that one was on a 2-week family vacation where I'm sure you know things can get a little cray-cray. So this leads me perfectly to the second thing I've done to axe my anxiety, and that's I learned to rationalize. Since I now knew that I was in control of my anxiety, I figured out that I could often control my own way out of it. So when I felt that anxiety coming on, I'd actually use my rational brain, which I now knew was still present since my stick experiment had worked so well, to tell myself why this particular thing I was feeling anxious about wasn't worth ruining my moment and many moments to come. Now, it wasn't that I talked myself out of being upset about something. I'd actually totally acknowledge the upsetting thing. It's just that I talked myself out of letting that upsetting thing spiral me out of control. So that time that I had a speaking gig at a college 2-hour drive away, and I mistakenly timed it completely wrong so we got into the car only 2 hours before the event started, I could have totally had a panic attack in the car as we sat in traffic. But instead, I told myself, yeah, this sucks. I suck. I did a sucky, sucky thing. But it would also suck to ruin my makeup with tears, upset my stomach with anxiety, and burden my boyfriend when there's literally nothing I can do about it other than to sit in the car and pray that Waze pulled a miracle. Which Waze did, and I got to the talk a magical 20 minutes early. Take that, anxiety. This episode is enthusiastically sponsored by a product that couldn't possibly float my boat more. Four Sigmatic. My boat is so floated by Four Sigmatic's mushroom drinks that any more floating would turn my boat into an airplane because it's flying. Okay, so the first time I tried a packet of Four Sigmatic mushroom tea and a glass of hot water, I was more skeptical because of this whole mushroom thing being really trendy right now, and I'm always reluctant to hop on trend trains. Wow, we're really covering all the modes of transportation here. But I drank those shrooms and I felt truly awesome. It's hard to explain. I just felt way more awesome than I felt before I drank it. Since then, I consistently consume at least one type of shrooms a day, and it helps me know it's going to be bright, 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 sunshiny day, even when it's rainy and gray, because I am telling you these mushrooms are magic. Although they don't make me hallucinate in a bathtub like my ex-boyfriend's famous magic mushroom experience, which in hindsight, he seemed way too proud of. But nobody's hallucinating the magical effects of these shrooms, okay? They are ultra scientifically proven to boost immunity and gut health. Yes, please and thank you. And the four different shrooms that Four Sigmatic uses most, hence the four in Four Sigmatic, wink, wink, they all do different epic things for your bod. Reishi helps you relax. Cordyceps give you a non-caffeinated energy for sports and stuff. Lion's mane, which does not come from a lion's mane, boosts your brain. And chaga is a mega charge for your immune system. I weave all four of those separate mushrooms into my life by way of the teas. That's what I'm talking about here, people, are mushroom teas that you dissolve in a packet of hot water and haya. But I also fancy myself some of their fancier shroom concoctions. They have this relaxing, thanks to the Reishi hot cocoa that I pretty much make every night with almond milk. They have matcha powder, which is the only matcha I now use. They have these magic mushroom chai latte packets that you can add to water or almond milk for a hot or iced, sweetest sippable treat. And I have to say, even though I don't drink coffee, Four Sigmatic is kind of famous for their multiple kinds of organic, much better for you coffee, even mocha mixes. So you can mocha chocolate. Okay, enough from me. I'm sorry. I just finished a mushroom matcha latte and I'm flying high. But because you listen to this podcast, thanks so much for doing that, by the way, you can save 15% off any and all Four Sigmatic shroomy stuff you'll want to buy off of their site, foursigmatic.com, using code PARTYINMYPLANTS. or you can just go to foursigmatic.com/partyinmyplants to automatically save that 15%, baby. Oh, by the way, did I mention that I don't even really like eating mushrooms? Yeah, but now, thanks to Four Sigmatic, my body doesn't need to have shroom FOMO. Okay, again, hit up foursigmatic.com/partyinmyplants to save 15% on this mega boat floating stuff that I always find stuffed into my pockets, purses, luggage, or my bra because I just can't get enough. However, there are many times when rationalizing is really, really hard. And if I'm very emotionally caught up in the moment and I'm just like unable to grab one strand of my rational mind to reel in, then I do the next logical thing. I pray. Whoa, 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 whoa. Pray? Okay, this show didn't just get all religious. Don't you worry. This ain't the Preaching Your Plants podcast. This praying thing I speak of has nothing to do with religion. It's about as religious of a thing as, I don't know, taking a bath. Baths aren't religious, are they? I guess they actually can be religious. Crap. Okay, I mean me praying is about as religious as me going to a baseball game. That's better. So when I'm so caught up in anxiety and I really can't seem to access any glimpse of reality to talk myself out of it, I just let go. I ask the universe for a hand. I'm just like, hey, whoever or whatever's out there that magically puts my favorite song on the radio when I'm humming it, or makes an email come in from the person I was just randomly thinking about, or makes sure the only pair of shoes left in the store is coincidentally the exact size that I wear, you, can you help me pump the brakes on this anxiety? I'd really like to not have a breakdown right now. I'd really like to gain some composure and feel less frantic. Can you help me with that the same way you magically opened up a spot on Open Table when I just refreshed the page? Please and thank you. And by golly, it works. Okay, let that soak in and I'm moving on to the less woo-woo now. The fourth thing that I've done to make my anxiety peace the F out is that I've actually made it hit the ground running. I've literally run my anxiety right out of town by running. Now, I do have an advantage here in that I genuinely wholeheartedly love to run, so doing it isn't a chore. But yeah, running has dramatically helped me control my anxiety. For one, cardio just in general is scientifically super for kicking anxiety's ass. As we know from Legally Blonde, exercising releases endorphins, neurotransmitters that make us happy. And happy people just don't kill their husbands, nor have panic attacks. Cardio also burns cortisol, the infamous stress hormone that can contribute to anxiety. So burn extra cortisol, banish extra anxiety. Boom and boom. And I'm going to actually add a third scientific thing here that's kind of about cardio and running, and that's that positive, upbeat, and happy music has actually been scientifically proven to make us happier. It can release dopamine, another feel-good neurotransmitter, into our brain, which can in turn obviously make us happier. So on a scientific level, yeah, it makes perfect sense that developing a steady running routine has helped banish my anxiety. But also on an emotional level, it's an activity that I can do to like sweat anxiety right out of my bod. I will simply get on a treadmill or track or road, put on my running playlist, which is solely feel-good happy songs, and which I've linked in the show notes at partyinmyplants.com/10, and I will sprint that anxiety right out of my system. I just burn it all out of me. All that nervous, angry, excited, crazy energy just drips out of my body as sweat, and I am left feeling fit and like an entirely new, centered, balanced, lighter human being. I've personally found running to be so much better for my anxiety than yoga. Yoga just doesn't shake it out, of me the same way that running does. Not to knock yoga at all, but maybe if yoga hasn't worked for you and your anxiety in the past, you might want to try a sweaty pit bull pumping cardio workout. Worth a shot. The fifth thing I've done to become an impressively less anxious human is to party in my plants. And not just because I'm trying to stay on brand. There are 101 reasons why plants can help with mild anxiety. I say mild because I'm not going to go grab a cucumber if I'm about to have a panic attack. But the bottom line is that when our bodies are healthy and in balance, our hormones are healthy and in balance, and thus our moods have a better chance of being happy and in balance. And eating a colorful, plant-based diet helps our bodies get healthy and in balance, obviously. On the other hand, crap, chemical, refined, artificial, and processed fake foods very much contributes to our anxiety. I'm not a doctor or scientist, nor do I care to be, but I can tell you that crap fake food Fs with our neurotransmitters, which can then directly F with our mood and our emotions. So it seems to me, Miss Non-Doctor or Non-Scientist over here, that my primarily plant-based and crap-free diet, which you can get a refresher on by listening to episode number 1, gives me significant ammo against anxiety. Finally, number 6 is that I've learned to actually allow my anxiety, which helps me control and ease it. Just like we all have certain foods that can always trigger heartburn, a bellyache, or a completely empty bag 4 mindless minutes later, we all have certain circumstances that can routinely stir up some anxiety in us. I've found it incredibly helpful to allow myself to get honest about the stuff that's going to stress me out rather than give myself shit for that stuff. I'm not like, what's wrong with you that you get anxious when you're at your in-law's vacation home? You suck so much. Just don't feel anxious. Does it look like that cool girl Sally who you follow on Instagram feels anxious at her in-laws? Would Jennifer Aniston feel anxious with Justin Theroux's parents? No way. So suck it up and knock it off. Okay, I don't do that. I allow myself to feel anxious for the things that cause me to feel anxious, but just give myself a leg up, a home court advantage, and the equation snuck into my graphic calculator so I can handle the situation without losing my shit. If I can anticipate it, I can dissipate it. Wow, I literally just made that up. Wow, go me. If I can't anticipate that being at my in-laws, for this example, even though I'm not yet married, but what else do you call your boyfriend's parents, notoriously causes me to feel some anxiety, then I'll do things or bring things to dissipate it. Like I'll pack my running gear so I can escape for some me time and a sweat out the stress sesh. I'll bring my computer so I can retreat to do some work for a little bit to break things up. And I'll bring some relaxing plant-based supplements like Kava Kava, Rescue Remedy, L-theanine, and if you listen to my previous podcast episode about essential oils, you'll know that bringing lavender oil is a great idea too. Make sense? So let me quickly recap these 6 kick anxiety in the crotch things for you. I mean, I don't want you to feel anxious about remembering them all, you know? They're also all written out at partyinmyplants.com/10. So number 1, I snapped myself out of it with stick.com and discovered that it's me, not the anxiety, who runs the show. Number 2, I rationalize with myself when possible. Number 3, I pray it out when it's not. Number 4, I sweat the anxiety right out of me. Number 5, I eat loads of plants and a minuscule amount of crap. And number 6, I anticipate and allow the anxiety to give myself a home court advantage against it. Those 6 things are what have made me into a completely different human than I was just 4 years ago when I was having anxiety attacks on the reg. If you're in the silent percentage of people who struggle silently with anxiety, or you're relying on chemical pills to manage it, I hope hearing this stuff that I, a real life person with real bad anxiety, really did to really banish it, helps you too. And it all started with me believing that my anxiety didn't operate the remote control of my life. I did. And knowing that, unlike clenching your bum to hold in a fart, clenching your soul to hold in anxiety doesn't work. It's gonna find a way out eventually, but you can control how stinky it is or not. Perfect ending. Okay, not so quick on the ending thing, all right? Since this episode originally aired 3 years ago, I added quite a few things to my anxiety alleviation arsenal. Number 1, talking about it. I have absolutely no shame sharing with friends, family, and our housebroker Fran that, sorry, this is making me feel anxious. Or pardon me for pulling back a bit right now, I'm going through a bout of anxiety. Or even, ew, no, I would never live in this house with no cell service in the middle of the woods up in the trees with floor-to-ceiling glass windows and the TV from The Ring in the basement. It's my anxiety's worst nightmare. It's not that I love using my anxiety to define me, rather that I cherish using it as a tool for communication and decision-making. I treat my proneness to anxiety like it's a little child attached to my hip who needs to be protected. So when I move through life conscientious of my anxiety's needs, I really feel as though I'm operating through the lens of self-love on the reg. Because I am. I'm loving myself. I'm loving my anxiety-prone self enough to empathetically accommodate her needs versus shoving her head in a suitcase and telling her to shush up. And this daily, moment-to-moment practice of self-care, in my experience, is what leads to a life that fits like a damn awesomely comfortable Comrade brand compression sock, which actually are an anxiety thing I'm loving right now to help me feel more grounded. Number two is acupuncture. I cannot believe I didn't mention my favorite form of antiquing in the first airing of this chat. Get it? Because acupuncture is so damn old. Anyway, getting needles in my meridians are a significant part of my surviving my cray-cray. Acupuncture is always my first destination when I need to boost my immunity, up my digestion, alleviate anxiety, or even just pump my brakes and take a nap. An expensive nap. I aim to get my puncture on about every 2 or 3 weeks for what I consider general maintenance or preventative purposes. I always find that when I get a little cocky with my chillness and start to say, nah, I'm good. I don't need to spend $100 getting little needles strategically inserted into my feet and forehead. That's when I usually find myself in bad shape. So acupuncture is kind of like changing a car oil. It might not seem like an emergency or a super big deal when I'm doing it, but whoosh, ignoring that red light blinking can have some serious, nasty consequences. Number three is therapy. I'm not currently in a relationship with a therapist, but I have dear friends who are, and I see firsthand the profound effects that talking to a professional has on their mental health. So I support it. And I've dabbled myself in times of deep need. And who knows, I might just try to court one myself in the upcoming years, because really, my friend's passion for their therapist make it seem mighty compelling. Number four, and forgive me because this one ties into a sponsor, but mushrooms. I can't believe that 3 years ago, I hadn't really allowed the almighty and powerful shrooms into my life. I am so thankful for Four Sigmatics Reishi Hot Cacao Packets, which easily transform cold almond milk into chocolate milk and morph hot almond milk into hot cocoa, all while making the superpowers of reishi mushrooms super accessible. I also can't believe I still don't know if it's reishi or rishi. What I do know is that this mushroom has worked miracles on my chilling, lessening stressing, and sleeping when my head is spinning factors. Reishi's been traditionally used in herbal medicine as an adaptogen, which means that it can help our bodies adapt to stress and cope with anxiety. If you find yourself occasionally in Anxietyville, I'd suggest you arm yourself with some of Four Sigmatics Reishi packets of the hot cacao, their chai latte, which I love maybe even more than the hot cacao, and they have a potent straight-up pure reishi elixir for extra strength dose. Remember, you can always use code PARTYINMYPLANTS to get 4 SIGs reishi for 15% less than other humans, which takes away some of the anxiety in that spending now, doesn't it? Number five is nature, and it's why I'm moving out of our steel industrial loft apartment in our warehousey treeless Williamsburg and into a house tucked into 4 acres of woods in Pound Ridge. I've realized by living in a place where nature is sparse just how magnificently grounding and calming something as simple and as take-for-grantable as grass and trees can be, because every time I come in contact with real mama nature, my nervous system feels way less nervous. Number six is weights, or our weights. I still run like the wind to sweat out anxiety, but I've also spent the past 3 years falling in love with lifting heavy things. You name something more grounding than laying on the ground in plank or squatting 50 pounds, being told to literally grab the ground with your toes, which I tell my trainer makes very little sense, but I try to do anyway. Body weight things or weight things can be soups dupes helpful for calming the F down. So whether you dig downward dog or I dig deadlifting, we can both gain more zen moving our bodies slowly and methodically. Number seven is tapping. I've recently-ish embraced tapping, which is also known as EFT or emotional freedom technique, for helping get anxious energy out of my mind and body. I'm excited to share more about this thing that some peeps call psychological acupressure in later episodes. But until then, if you're curious, Google it. And I heard it was featured as an anxiety alleviation technique in an episode of Jane the Virgin. So you can Google that too. But try not to get caught up in a Google spiral, because that is the opposite of an anxiety alleviation technique. Okay, so I basically just tacked another episode onto the end of the original episode, but hey-o, anxiety is complex. And it's also so individual. So please remember that everything I just said stemmed from my personal, not professionally trained experience. I want to thank you so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. If you dug this chat about anxiety, you might also want to listen to episode number 124 with Sarah Knight, who wrote a book called Calm the Fuck Down. That's all about doing exactly that. You can find a recap of the steps and tools I use to lovingly ease my anxiety that I spoke about in this episode over at partyinmyplants.com/162. And you can find me right here, right now, sending you a big, giant hug if you need one. You're not alone. But bye for now.